might be found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 8. And we're going to read a few verses found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 8. And I won't hold you long. Matter of fact, I got my watch out today, and it's one of them that you wear. And if you don't wear it a lot, it don't run. It's one of them that winds up as you wear it. So it's only been going since I picked it up this afternoon before we came to church. So it may die out or not. I don't know. But I'll try not to keep you long tonight. But I do want what the Lord wants. And I'm appreciative of an opportunity to say something about Him. If you have your Bible, we'll begin reading in Jeremiah chapter number 8. And I want to get the latter part of this chapter. And we'll start reading in verse number 17. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 8 and verse number 17, it says, "For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrice, among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities?" That word vanities is emptiness. And that's where we are tonight. A lot of people are trying to serve God in the emptiness. They have not the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, and they're coming up empty, wondering if there's something better. But I'm here tonight to tell you there is something better. I'm glad for the day that the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into my life, and He brought something better. See, I was a man of religion. I grew up in church but knew nothing about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, April 8, 1998, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into my heart, and He saved me, and He changed my mind about church, and He changed my life about heaven. And I'm glad tonight I don't serve Him for vanities. There's more to it than what meets the eye in this thing. Verse number 20. The harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Verse number 22 is where I want to spend some time tonight. It said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of thy daughter, the daughter of my people, recovered?" Let us pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I need Your help tonight, Lord. I stand, Lord, not having no ability, Lord, but availability tonight, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for Your word, Lord. I thank You for these people, Lord, that are faithful on Wednesday night. Lord, I pray, Lord, You'd feed them from Your word. I thank You for what You've done for me, Lord. Thank You for saving my soul from hell. Thank You, Lord, there's a better day coming, Lord. And we just thank You for all You're going to do here in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw my text out of verse number 22. And the title of my message is There No Balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? You say, why would that interest you? In chapter 7, in Jeremiah chapter 7, you'll find the wickedness of the people. And judgment was arising up from the Lord. The children of Israel find themselves where they was almost to where they could not stand against their enemies. Jeremiah said that he was black. That means he was he had a great burden for that people. And he said it's one of those things that rises up in you when God sends you to a people and you have such a burden for them that your whole soul and everything that's in you yearns for that people. That's the kind of burden that Jeremiah had for the children of Israel. And he knew that, see, Jeremiah knew what it was like to have the Lord with him. And he knew the Lord was about to remove Himself from this people because of their backsliding. In Jeremiah chapter number 8, you'll find they had a perpetual backsliding. What does that mean? We know that term. We know what it means to backslide, don't we? That means you was once sitting in the front, now you're sitting in the back, and now you're sitting on the outside of the church. I'm telling you, Jeremiah had a burden for this people. He said, "I'm black and astonishment is within me." Jeremiah knew what it's like to have the Lord. I'm glad here at Liberty Baptist Church, we know what it's like to have the Lord. There's some churches you walk into, you wonder if they ever had the Lord. If you ever been out anywhere, let me tell you what, this is holy ground, as Miss Renee sung about tonight. I'm glad tonight we know when the Lord is here. And He's honored here. We know what it's like to open the door and let the Lord in. Jeremiah was black with astonishment for this people. He said, to the hurt of my daughter, he knew what it's like to have the Lord there. And when the Lord wasn't there, he knew the difference. I'm sad that a sad story tonight is to tell you that the average church wouldn't know if the Lord was there or not there. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? No balm there. Psalm 25 and 2 said, oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Jeremiah knew what it was going to be like if his enemies had triumphed over him. He knew what it was going to be like. I want to draw my text out of verse 22. And like I said, it'll be a very short message tonight. I remember, look in verse number 17. I do want to mention something about verse 17 before I go any further, because it's very interesting what it says. It says, before behold, I will send serpents, cockatrice, among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. That's a very interesting verse, because we always think the Lord is going to keep us from trouble. But he said, I'm going to send serpents, I'm going to send cockatrices, and they shall bite you. I was reading after one man, he said, but God will let you be bitten, so you won't be beaten. There's a lot of truth in that. God will let you be bitten, so you won't be beaten. I remember a text in Numbers 21. There was a man named Moses. And Moses, and he had led the people across the Red Sea. And you know what had happened? They began to murmur and they began to complain. The Bible said in Numbers 21 and 4 that their soul, because of the way their soul was discouraged. We're in tonight where there are people, their soul has got discouraged. And when your soul is discouraged, you know what you'll begin to do? You'll begin to murmur and complain. The Bible said that they murmured against God and they murmured against Moses. And God had a plan for that. Let me tell you what God did. He sent fiery serpents into the wilderness and it bit much of the people. And the Bible said much of the children of Israel died because of it. And all those people that had murmured and complained about Moses and murmured against God and complained about all the things that God had taken them through said, Moses, Brother Moses, I got a prayer request for you. Can I get one in tonight? He said, Moses, they went to Moses and said, I need you to go before God. And I know we've been talking about you. And I know we done had you for dinner and lunch and we done had you before our children, you know, and we didn't talk good about you before the brethren. But he said, I want you to get a prayer through. I know you've been up all night burdened for these people, but I need you to get a prayer through to God. And they wanted Moses to go to God and have God to remove the fiery serpents. And we all know the story because we've been in Sunday school. God did something special, didn't he? The Bible said in John chapter 3, verse number 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. What God did is He made a fiery serpent, and they was put it on a brazen serpent up on a pole. And every man that looked after he was bitten, if he were to look on that brazen serpent, he would live. One man preached a message out of that said, look and live. And I believe it tonight. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. One day he would be raised up on a pole. He's hung between two thieves. You say, why would God choose, of all the holy symbols in the Bible, why would God choose a serpent? Out of everything in the Bible, we would think, God, you'll make a holy dove, and that would be the symbol that we look on. But I'm going back to what I said. God will let you be bitten so you won't be beaten. Think about that serpent. It was made of what? Brass, wasn't it? As Moses concocted that brass, that brazen serpent, let me tell you what he had to do. He had to beat on it. And he was beating on it. Why? Because what was God was letting them be bit so they wouldn't be beaten. They could look on something that had been beaten, and it would, if they look on it, then it would live. I'm telling you. God will let you be bitten so you won't be beaten. There was a cause for their hurt, number one. You know what their cause was? And I'll go through these fast, quickly, to try to get to my last point. They were hurt because of their sin. Talking about their cause. Verse number 5 said, if you look, it said, why then this people of the Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding, they hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. God's got a message for His church tonight. Repent and return. You see, we want to return, but we don't want to repent. The message to the prodigal son was always repent and return. Tonight, the message that God always gives to His children is this. It's repent and return. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you messed up, you can always repent and return. You know, people of God may not forgive you. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God will forgive you for what you've done. Repent and return. They held fast deceit. They began to backslide. And their sin had come up before God. And let me tell you what, sin always has judgment. Always. Their sin, not only their sin, their speech. Look in verse number 6. It said, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. Their speech. They didn't say things that was just right. They didn't know what to say to come back to God. They said, in the last part of that 6, it said, what have I done? Everyone has turned his course as a horse rushes into battle. Their speech was against God. It was not to come back to God, but it was taking them away from God. And they spake not aright. Verse 7 through 9, you'll see their stubbornness. It said, yeah, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time that they're coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Let me tell you what, they had it in a bad way. Let me tell you what, America is in this shape tonight. You see, we have a problem in America, and it's not so much the guns. It's not so much our schools. It's not so much our government. It's not our churches. Let me tell you what America has. They have a sin problem. And it just didn't start yesterday. And it didn't start. It started in the garden when Adam and Eve, they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it started there. And let me tell you what, we're direct descendants of that sin. And that's why America is on the way down, is because of a sin problem. Their stubbornness. Not only that, you'll see their selfishness in verse 10. It said, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and the fields to them that shall inherit them, for every one from the least even to the greatest is what? Is given to covetousness. From the prophet unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They were selfish. It was all given to covetousness. And look at verse number 12. You'll see their shame. Look what it says. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation shall they be cast down, saith the Lord. I'm telling you, we're in times where people don't blush at sin anymore. Nothing is wrong, and every man is doing what's right in their own eyes. But let me tell you what, there is a right way, and there's still a wrong way. And sin is still sin tonight. And I'm glad tonight that we have a cure for the sin in our life. The cause for their hurt. Let me tell you what, there's a verse in the Bible I hold very dear to my heart. It's found in the book of Psalms, chapter number 78, verse number 41. It says this. It says, yea, they turned back and tempted God. And it said, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. That word limited means a lot to me. You see, when you limit somebody, you know what you do? You restrain them. As a thief, when he's handcuffed by police, you know what he does? He puts his hands behind his back. You know what he does? He handcuffs him. And I think a lot of times in our life, we limit the Holy One of Israel and we handcuff God. You say, can you really limit God? You cannot technically limit God in what He can do. But you can providentially limit God what He'll do for you. You cannot technically limit God. He's on the throne. He's ruling and reigning. But let me tell you what, you can limit what God will do for you and what God will do for your family. I believe with all my heart. The children of Israel got to a point to where they had murmured against God so much that the Bible said they had limited God. I don't want to get to heaven one day and say, and God open the storehouse and say, look inside and look what you could have had. I'm telling you, tonight in America, we're limiting God. The founding fathers of this nation has set this thing up to where they'd be it that Jesus would be the only way to heaven. He is the only way tonight. And it was to be taught and to be birthed into our children. Let me tell you what, they had a cause for their hurt. They caused it themselves. They limit God. They restrain God. They handcuff God. And America is the same way. We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken Him out of the courthouse. We've taken Him out of everything. Let me tell you what, we're limiting God and what He will do for our country. You say, why does this stuff happen against, why did 9/11 happen against America? I'm going to tell you, because God will remove His hand of protection from it. And He'll let you fall before your enemies if you limit Him. The judgment. That's where Jeremiah found himself. He found himself to where he knew where God was, and God was moving His hand off of a people because of their sin and because of their wickedness, and they was causing their own hurt. Secondly, you'll see in verse number 20, it said this. You'll see the cry for their hurt. It said this. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. You see, each day that went by in that child of Israel, that children of Israel's life, he says, surely God will save us. Year by year. I was reading after one man. He's talking about, this is what he said. He said that the year one came, the children of Israel had been taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. And he said that after year one, they looked back and said, Lord, are You going to save us? He said the harvest is past, talking about the grain gathering. And that was the season that they was all very familiar with. Those seasons passed. They knew that period had passed, and they knew that the summer had done started. And now summer had started, and now summer had ended, and the fruit gatherings were past. And now the summer has ended, and we are still not saved. That's the saddest shape that you can be in. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Let me tell you what, God has given us grace upon grace here in America. Grace upon grace. I was reading after one man. He said this. He said, the summer, rather the fruit gathering, which follows the grain harvest. The grain has failed. The fruit gathering has also proved unproductive. So despair seized when the people saw their opportunities for deliverance again, and it passed by. And it seemed as if God had utterly forgotten them. We are not saved. I'm telling you, in America, we don't see many people saved anymore. I like that term, saved. That means called out. That means going to heaven. My name's written down. I wonder tonight, is your name written down? The summer has ended. We are not saved. Another man said it this way. He said, it's not because there is deficiency of grace, nor of the means of grace, that men are not saved, because they either make no use or bad use of them. Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, has tasted death for every man, but few are saved because they will not come to the one who will give them life. And that's where we find ourselves today. Jesus has paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. They had a cry that they wasn't saved. Then lastly, this is where I want to spend some time tonight. You'll see, first of all, their cause for their hurt. Secondly, the cry for their hurt. But I want to say, in verse number 22, you'll find the cure for their hurt. Jeremiah stood up and he asked two questions. He really asked three. He said this, is there no balm in Gilead? He said this, secondly. He said, is there no physician there? Then he said, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah asked two questions. Is there no balm in Gilead? You say, why would he ask that? You see, Gilead was real close to where Jerusalem was. It was right next door. It wasn't someplace far away. He was asking the people that question. He said, you've got Gilead right beside you. How come you're not healed? How come you're not recovered? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? It was right next door. All they had to do was reach out and get it. You see, there's balm everywhere if you'll look around. Each time that preacher gets up and preaches, he's spreading out balm. Each time that singer gets up and sings, he's singing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's balm being distributed. Each time that saint ministers to you and he gives you things out of the Word of God, or he speaks that kind word to you, or he just smiles at you, you know what he's doing? He's administering balm straight out of the cross of Calvary into your soul. Is there balm in Gilead? You see, if you want balm, it's there. There's balm enough to go around. You see, there was a fountain open when Jesus died on the cross, and he spread his arm between two thieves, and that fountain is still open tonight. I was reading after a man. He said this, the balm of Gilead. That balm they took out of a balsam tree. And it said this, that they would work all day to get 40 or 50 drops of that oil out of that balsam tree. You know why? Because that balsam tree was full of medicine. It was full of ointment. It was full of all the things that would heal all their diseases. And they would spend all day as that oil would begin to drop out. And they would say, I got to get that. I got to get to that. I can use it later down the road. Is there balm in Gilead? Jesus has paid it all. I want to compare tonight that balsam tree to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You see, I noticed, first of all, that it was appointed. You see, God had raised up a tree. And let me say something about this tree, this balsam tree. That tree was small. Most people said it was 2 cubits. I read some people that say it's taller than that. But most people say it was 2 cubits. And it was appointed. It was small. It was unattractive. It wasn't good to look on. And I want to say this with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't always attractive. He wasn't always good to look on. The Bible said in Isaiah 52 that he was vicious, was marred before all men. As they beat Jesus there before they took him to the cross, and while he was on the cross and the soldier pierced his side. Let me tell you what, it was not attractive to look on. But there was a balm there that was coming out, that flowed. This balsam tree was unattractive. They said, can anything good come out of this tree? The same thing about Jesus. Can there anything good come out of Nazareth? They also said, is this not the carpenter's son? The son of Mary? Let me tell you what, Jesus was more than just a man. He was the God-man. And let me tell you what, he went to the cross because it was appointed. It was not plan A, plan B. It was always plan A. To send Jesus to go. Isaiah said it this way. He said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as though our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Listen to this. It said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes we are healed. Let me tell you what. Jesus was appointed. That balsam tree right beside Jerusalem, Gilead. It was just right next door. It was there. It was appointed to that little tree to grow up in that area. I was reading after a man. He said that there's only two places where these trees are even predominantly even made. And Gilead is one of them. It was right there beside them. And Jeremiah could relate it back to a people and said, is there no balm in Gilead? Let me tell you what, there was balm all around them. All they had to do was get it. It was appointed. I want to say, secondly, it was approved. I began to study about medicine today. I'm sure a lot of you know about medicine, probably more than I do. But I've noticed this, that every medicine that you buy has to go through an approval process. They just don't come out of the ground and they hand it to you at Walmart and say, take this, or the doctor hand it to you. And there's different approval processes for each medicine. I'm glad tonight that Jesus was approved before the foundation of the world. I'm glad that He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. I'm glad tonight He had a great approval. Y'all remember John the Baptist? He was baptizing in River Jordan and he cried out and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. guess what Jesus did? He said, I'm going to get baptized by this Baptist preacher down here. Get down here in River Jordan. What did God say? He said, when he baptized Jesus and he brought him up out of the water, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He had heaven's approval. That little balm tree was approved for medicinal purposes. It had aroma, a nice aroma. It had the oil that they were using for medicine. And I'm glad tonight that Jesus, I started to say he wouldn't give you any side effects. But I'm going to tell you what, serving Jesus, there'll be some side effects. You love your neighbor as yourself. You love the Lord God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. You love the people around you. You put a song in your heart. I can't sing. I'm glad some of you can. But I love to do it. I love to sing when y'all ain't around. You know why? Because God's put that song in my heart. There's some side effects with His medicine tonight. I'm glad there's some balm in Gilead. Not only is it appointed, it was approved. I want to say this. It was available. Talking about the size of that tree. It was a very small tree. And I began to think about the size of that tree. I'm glad they didn't put it up 25 foot in the air, because I couldn't have reached it. I couldn't have got to it. But if it's down near the ground, it don't matter what size. It don't matter if you're 7 foot tall. It don't matter if you're a little child. It don't matter if you're 2 foot tall. You can still reach to that tree. I'm glad Jesus came and He died for all. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, who did He die for? He died for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this whole world that ever walked on the face of this earth. He died for the rich. He died for the poor. He died for the black man, the white man, the red man, the yellow man. It doesn't matter the skin color. He don't care if you're rich. He don't care if you're poor. He don't care if you're bond or free. I'm glad tonight the balm of Gilead is available. If you'll reach out and take it. I'm glad there's a balm there. And it's available. And then lastly, as I close this thing out, the cure was appointed, it was approved, it was available. But I want to say this, the cure always needed attention. As the farmer began to, they said this old balm of Gilead tree, it said it spread fast. Let me tell you what, this thing with Jesus, it needs attention. You say, why does it need attention? Let me say this, for the one who's in here tonight, you can say, I don't know what it means to be saved. Talking about needing attention. There's an expiration date on this balm of Gilead. You see, today we're living in the day of grace. But there's going to come a day where the day of grace is going to end. And it's going to, and there's nothing that guarantees you it's not going to be tonight. From reading my Bible and reading the prophecies, and I'm not saying I understand it all, but I don't know of anything that is going to hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We're living in the day of grace. And thank God for that. I'm glad I'm not in the day of the law. Thank God it's all about grace in this day we're living in. But that day of grace is going to expire one day. And there's going to be 7 years of tribulation like this world has never known. And you better be ready for the lost person tonight. There's people that we're around. You know what they're doing? They're wanting that you're around on your job, that you're around day in and day out in your family, that you could be the balm of Gilead to them. You say, how can I do that? Just by ministering what Brother Jody preached on Sunday night. Being a minister to people. People is looking for that balm to run out of you. They don't want you to tuck tail and run. You know who you'll win to Christ? You'll always win those you're willing to get down in the ditch for you and dig and shovel out dirt. But I want to say this, not only for the lost man, you know, you must take heed to the call of salvation. If the shepherd is calling, always take heed to his voice for the lost man. But you say, what about the saint? What about those that are saved? What about those that are going to heaven? I talk about a cure that needs attention. I want to say Jesus has a balm for us as well. The Bible said this in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2 and verse number 17. It said, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto us, brethren, like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Let me tell you what, tonight you have a faithful and a high priest tonight. You say, what do you mean by that? There's nothing that you can go through in this life that there's not a balm of Gilead that's flowing out of Jesus that you can help you. I want to say this tonight too. And this is something I don't even understand. God has the ability to heal all disease. But I can't tell you that God will heal your disease. There's nothing within me that can tell you that. I can't tell you why they take there's little coffins, and I can't tell you why there's big coffins. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's nothing that the balm of Gilead cannot cure. I want to say this also. This balm, does it come down from the cross, and it knows how to heal our soul. You know, the Bible said that he's able to be a merciful and a faithful high priest. And as I began to think about that, I want to say this, Paul, he said, talking about healing all disease. Because people said, if we had somebody in here tonight that could heal all diseases, we'd empty out every hospital in America. But let me tell you what, I can't tell you that God will heal your disease. But I can tell you that he'll be the balm of Gilead to you. Paul was a man, had a preacher boy named Timothy. And Paul could not even heal Timothy. He said, take a little wine for thy stomach. Paul was a man that had the power of God all around him and on him. And Paul had something that was ailing him. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 that he went to the Lord thrice, that he'd take away the thorn in the flesh from him. A lot of people have tried to figure out what that was. I don't really know what it was, but I'll tell you what it was. One of the things I do know, God did not take that thorn from Paul. But he did say this. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let me tell you what, when Jesus died on that cross, a little over 2,000 years ago, there was a balm of Gilead that flowed out to a land, the healing of the nations, I believe is what it was. Let me tell you what, that balm is still flowing tonight, and he's got what you need. Whether you're young or old, that balm of Gilead will reach into a sin-sick soul, it'll reach into a dear saint's heart. I wonder if you'd be the balm of Gilead to somebody around you this week. You see, people are looking on us to figure out what we got is real or not. What we have, is it worth having? Let me tell you what, this balm that flows from the cross of Calvary is what everyone, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman needs. I'm glad tonight there is a balm in Gilead. Brother Mike.